to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
And I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
I always like to start out The Mental Breakdown podcast with a happy Friday.
Oh, no.
Happy Friday.
It's not the last week of September, is it? Next week is the last week.
Right. Correct. So this is
okay. Penultimate.
Penultimate.
Right.
Not preultimate.
Big
penultimate.
I'm very proud of it.
That's a good word.
I like that word. People think it's the end. It's not. It's the next to the last.
It came up on
not the ultimate. It's the penultimate.
The penultimate. Right. You would think it would be preultimate, though. The one before the ultimate.
Right. That's what I always thought.
But penultimate.
Who are we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So it's Friday.
It is.
Closing in on September. Autumn equinox yesterday, so first day of fall.
That's right.
We're going to be turning our clocks back in a couple of weeks, so time of year to start thinking and rethinking and recommitting to those resolutions you made.
That's right. You know, we just talked about some of that stuff on the morning show, and so if you haven't checked that out yet, you know, check out the morning show. That was the morning show number 10, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's
We've done 10 morning shows already. Right. Man, they just go by because it's every day. So check those out if you haven't seen them yet. They're on our iTunes feed or our regular podcast feed, but also on YouTube. We have a separate playlist specifically for our morning show. Mm-hmm. So, this morning we're going to talk about, over the past week, or really almost last couple weeks, we've been talking a lot about positive psychology.
Correct.
And so we thought that for this podcast, because it's a little bit longer than our usual morning show, we're going to spend a little bit of time just kind of recapping a lot of our discussions about positive psychology. Because the nice thing, the positive thing about positive psychology,
Very nice.
See what I did there? Mm-hmm. The positive thing about positive psychology is that it really is primarily the self-help stuff that we use on a daily basis.
Right.
I mean, it's the same stuff that you see in so many of the books at the bookstore in that self-help section.
Right.
And, you know, it's really beneficial for us and for a lot of people. So we thought we would recap a lot of that.
Right. And for those of you who aren't familiar with positive psychology, as psychologists, we spend a lot of time...
You got distracted by your phone on that
one. My phone rammed. I apologize to all of you. I wasn't expecting a call this
morning.
So
it happens.
We normally focus much of our time on dysfunction. As psychologists, we deal with depression and anxiety and tend to think of dysfunction.
Right.
Positive psychology really started in the 90s. You know, with Martin Seligman and all that.
Right.
And the idea was, well, wait a minute, we know what people who have dysfunction are doing and how they feel and how they act.
Right.
What are people who do not have these problems? What do happy people do?
Right.
What qualities do happy people possess to keep them happy and contented?
Right.
And maybe we should also spend time doing those things that happy and successful and contented people do.
Right.
So it was a study of those variables, those characteristics, and then let's put them to work in our lives.
You know, I'm gonna pull a Dr. Richard, and I'm gonna go a little bit further back, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about Joseph Campbell from back in the 1960s and 1970s. You know him, right? Joseph Campbell was basically a mythologian. I don't know if he was a philosopher, but he did a lot of work in looking at world myths, and he talked about the hero's journey. And so that's how we know him primarily is through his work in talking about the hero's journey. And he talked a lot with George Lucas, with Star Wars and some of those things. But another aspect of his research and work was this idea of bliss.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he talked about, you know, following your bliss, which is, again, sort of, I think that was probably the precursor to what we think of with positive psychology. And that is, you know, what do you do, or what is it in your life that you find that just brings you bliss or brings you that complete satisfaction?
Right.
And so he's been talking about that, or was talking about that, even in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
And, you know, he's I think he's passed away right. now, but his work was seminal in this area.
That's right. And what does it take
yeah.
to make you happy? And there was an article published recently where, and I thought an extraordinary insight into this thing, but it was very helpful for me at least, because it was an article about how do you, you know, whenever you see something like how do you become happier? How do right. you ensure happiness? And what the author said was, to be happy, you need three things. You need adequate or sufficient material resources.
Okay.
And that food, clothing, shelter. Right. In our culture, that also means money. You know.
Right.
But mainly, it's those basic biological needs.
The basic needs, not excess.
No.
But yeah. basic needs.
I mean, that you're not hungry. You're not there. You have adequate resources.
Okay.
Second thing you need is adequate social resources. You
right.
need people and you need to be connected. You need to feel connected either to a family or to friends or to colleagues or to church, you know, some group that you're connected to.
That social aspect is, I think, so much more important than we tend to, and I know that you have
yeah,
three
no,
on
no,
your
no.
list, but that social aspect is so much more important than we
it.
Tend to give it credit for, because, you know, when I was doing my dissertation,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I was working on, you know, looking at parental stress. Well, actually, my thesis and dissertation, mm-hmm. I looked at parental stress. And one of the things that kept coming up in the research is a mediator for parental stress is perceived social support.
Right.
Now, what is fascinating about that is the word perceived. Because what they found is that it doesn't even matter if you use
right.
the social supports, as long as you know and feel
there.
That they're available,
right.
you have a significant increase in your confidence and a significant
right.
decrease in your
right.
stress.
Right. right.
So that social support aspect is
absolutely
important.
Essential. Right. We're social beings.
Absolutely.
We live in groups and
yeah.
Large or small, we live in groups, and
yeah.
so we have to do that. And then the third is a stable environment.
Right.
You know, there has to be some predictability. I can't imagine what life must be like in these war-torn countries
oh.
like Syria, where you literally don't know from one minute to the next what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, bombs are falling and, you know, the war is going on all around you. And so you need a stable environment.
Yeah.
Well, you need these three things, but if you don't have these, you could well experience stress or unhappiness.
Right.
So, but these are external to us. They're external causes.
Right.
So you want to maintain these. That's important. If you don't have them, they could become a cause of
right.
unhappiness. But they're external to us.
Right.
There's a fourth factor, and that's the internal.
Right.
There is also an internal cause, and that's positive attitude.
Right.
Okay. And you also have to have that, because you can have all these. We all know people who have those three.
Right.
They're still unhappy.
Right.
Okay. So the missing,
miserable.
They're miserable. Right.
Yeah.
So the missing ingredient is, they don't have what's absent is a positive attitude.
Right.
And where does a positive attitude come from? Well, what we've been saying all week is that a positive attitude really comes from two things. One is life has to feel, you have to feel like you have some purpose.
Right.
That life has some purpose.
Right. And that goes back to, you know, we did that podcast some time ago on happiness.
That's right.
And
mm-hmm.
and we talked about how, you know, 40% of your happiness
mm-hmm.
basically comes from your attitude. What
yes.
intentional acts you mm-hmm. engage in that make you feel good.
Intentional.
Emphasis
on intentions. Things that you do to make yourself feel better.
Right,
okay?
Right.
And so one is to have a positive attitude is life has to have some purpose, some meaning, okay? But the second thing is something called efficacy
mm-hmm.
outcome. And efficacy is the feeling that I can accomplish this, that I
right.
can do this, that I
right.
can become successful, that I can finish this, that I can raise my children, that I can complete this project. And so those two things lead to a positive mental attitude.
Right.
Okay?
And that's all aspects of self-esteem
mm-hmm.
and self-worth and feelings of success and motivation
right.
and all that kind of stuff that we've talked about before
that's
as well.
Right. And the final point he made, which I find fascinating with a background in neuropsychology or neurobiology, is that we have two feedback mechanisms in us. One feedback mechanism is that when we are happy, we smile.
Right.
But the feedback mechanism is when we smile, we are happy.
Right.
So it works both ways.
Right.
If you smile, you become happy. because there's a feedback mechanism mm-hmm. in your brain that just like happiness creates smile, it also works in reverse. The smile creates happiness.
Right.
Okay. The second thing is, when we're with other people, because we want to be social, if you're nice to others, they're nice to you.
Right.
Okay. And so there's a feedback
mechanism.
There's
another feedback.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have two feedback mechanisms that are completely under our control.
Right.
Now, as bad as you feel, if you go somewhere and relax and start to smile and think happy thoughts, you will become happier.
Right.
Okay. It's just a biological thing that will
and
happen.
And as you're happy and pleasant, other people will be pleasant to you, which will make you happy.
They'll reflect your happiness.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, why is he, there are people that we want in our lives because we feed off their happiness.
Right.
Okay. And we become happy just because we're around them.
Right.
And that's
right.
what we should be doing with others.
Absolutely.
And think of the enormous effect this has on your children.
Yeah.
If you're in a bad mood every day,
mm-hmm.
imagine your children are reflecting that. Bad
right.
mood.
Okay. Absolutely.
So these are under our controls. With that in mind, we want to sort of recap this week of positive psychology.
Yeah.
And use it as a springboard for the coming week.
Yeah. Some of the key points that we talked about over the course of the week and maybe the last couple weeks as it relates to things that you can do to do all of that stuff that you were just talking about.
Right.
And the first one is simple and direct and straightforward, and that is thinking positively. When something happens in our world, we don't have control over everything that happens in our world. Like for example, right now,
mm-hmm.
they're mowing and doing right. yard stuff outside the office, and it's distracting
Which
me.
Which to us is very distracting.
It's very distracting. I don't know if you guys can hear it on the podcast or on the video or
and
anything.
And hopefully
but
we're not picking it up on any
right.
mechanisms.
Yeah. It's very distracting, but we can think, we can make that into a joke and we can laugh about it or something
right.
like that. Or we can be irritated and agitated and upset about it.
Right.
That's a choice that we make. And so we can be positive about it or we can be negative mm-hmm. about it. And so thinking positively is one of those things that's inside of our control.
Right.
We have some ability to manipulate that and to manage that if we so choose.
Yeah, we have no control over the lawn maintenance people.
Right.
We do have control over what we do about it.
Right.
And how we feel about it and how we react to it. Okay.
Right.
That is under our control.
Yeah.
Young children, when they have temper tantrums or when older kids have meltdowns, they'll say, well, you made me angry. I may have made you angry, but I didn't make you have a meltdown.
Yeah.
That was your choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we have to separate those two. And as adults, we have to be very careful about how we respond. The response is ours. That's under our control.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first key point, of course, is just thinking positively. Just
right.
working to think positively.
Right.
The second thing is related to something that you were getting to earlier, and that is thinking about or considering how we write our story. Now, we wrote about this in the mm-hmm. weekly newspaper column that we have in the Ledger, but there is this aspect of, who we are is defined by how we write our story. Mm-hmm. When something happens to you, your description, your internalization of that, positive or negative, is you writing your biography, your autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
It's you writing your story. And we, again, we have some control over that.
That's right.
We can dictate the type of story that our lives tell.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we want it to be a drama and something
yeah.
that has, really challenging moments, these negative moments, they can be thrillers, they can be all kinds of things.
Right.
They can be comedies, they can be, your story can be whatever you want it to be, but it comes back to sort of like thinking positively, how you want to define it, how you want to characterize it and describe it and perceive it and express it to others.
That's right, right. And we are in control of
yeah.
what we write. And we have to take opportunities, good or bad opportunities, to rewrite. You're constantly rewriting your story.
Right.
If good things happen, it's a nice chapter. If difficult or sad or catastrophic things happen, that writes a story, okay? But
right.
you're always rewriting your story.
Right.
So rewrite your story in a positive vein. Pick out the best parts of what, even the difficult things can lead to positive
right.
results. Okay,
yeah.
You can go through some kind of a loss or some kind of a disappointment, but you can turn it into something positive. So
right.
rewrite your story, but keep it in a positive vein.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So thinking positively, rewriting your story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the third and fourth is how you manage things in your environment. So number three is, of course, managing stress. Life is much more positive when we manage our stress well. Mm-hmm. Look, there's no reason to even entertain the idea that we're going to eliminate stress.
Right.
There's no reason to even pretend like that's a possibility, mm-hmm. because we live in a world that is full of stress.
Right.
So how we manage our stress, though, is critical. So all the things that, you know, when we do our morning show and we're reminding you the same kinds of things every day, really, we are repetitive with that because it is the goal to make those things habits. And we're just trying to remind you that these are the things: exercise, eating well, meditating, you know, making sure you get good sleep. All of these things are critical to managing your stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are not going to be able to control what your boss comes into your office today and tells you to do.
Right.
You're not going to be able to control that.
Mm-hmm.
You can, however, manage how you perceive it, how you write it, writing your story, and then how you're dealing with the stress.
Mm-hmm.
You can go for a run tonight. You can go for a walk. You can do something to get out that frustration and manage it in a healthy way.
That's right. Yeah.
So managing stress is an important part of positive psychology.
Right. The important thing is you can't avoid it.
Right.
Okay, so forget about avoiding stress. If you avoid stress, you're going to have to live in a little bubble somewhere and not have anybody around. If you're around people, if you're working, you're out in the world, there's going to be stress. Okay.
Yeah.
So A, you can't avoid it. B, there are lots of things you can do about it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what you have to do. You have to inoculate yourself by being in good physical condition, by eating properly, by sleeping properly. All those things will help you manage the stress that you do encounter.
Absolutely.
Because stress damages your body. Stress damages the brain, has a direct insult on the brain. It actually destroys brain tissue.
Yeah.
And it also destroys your cardiovascular system.
Right.
So, and your whole immune system gets compromised. You know, people say, well, don't get cold, don't get damp, don't let the kids go out in the rain. Think about soldiers in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
They lived outside in mud and cold and snow, and they didn't get colds.
Right.
It was their immune system that was what. So,
right.
So it's when your immune system becomes compromised that opportunistic infections can settle in.
Right.
Okay?
Absolutely.
You know, stress is one of the things that will reduce the immune system, the ability of the immune system to fight opportunistic infection. So keep your immune system built by reducing stress.
Yeah. Now, number four is managing expectations.
Yes.
You know, the challenge that we have, another challenge that we have, is that we take on a lot,
mm-hmm.
but we set expectations for ourselves sometimes that are unrealistic.
We set expectations for ourselves, but more problematic is we have expectations of others.
Right.
And when you have expectations of others, I think you should assume that they're not going to be met.
Right.
Okay. Because you have no control.
Right.
Okay. Other people will do what they're doing.
Right.
It's not that they don't like you, it's that they have their own lives to live. So, yes, let's discuss managing your expectations.
Right. Yeah. My wife and I have this discussion often because, you know, between the different things that we do, you know, we have our clinical practice, we do these shows, I'm coaching a couple of soccer teams,
mm-hmm.
and I have these things that divide my time. You're teaching
right.
at the university. We have these things that divide our time, and there are times when I have to take the responsibility of doing something that probably could have been given to someone else. But, as you said, if I want to make sure that it happens,
right.
sometimes I have to just go ahead and do it myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really difficult because, you know, we have to manage how much we take on. Again, those
mm-hmm.
expectations. Is it a realistic expectation to be able to have, you know, these five activities
mm-hmm.
happening at the same time? Because you may be stuck taking the responsibility for doing every aspect of it because you know, your expectations for others may not be good.
And we always say,
good.
I didn't expect to have to
right.
do it. Well, that's managing your expectations.
Right.
Sometimes you don't expect to have to do it.
But it happens.
But sometimes it's going to fall on your shoulders and you do it. That goes back to the previous item. You can be angry about that.
Right.
Or you can just do it and do it well, because sometimes our expectations are not met, especially
right.
When we make the expectation of others,
right?
Okay,
right.
So we have to assume that once in a while it's going to fall down, it's going to fall apart,
right?
But
and
yes.
if we do put the expectation on someone else, we need to make sure that we allow them to do it, and that we don't that either we communicate very well what our expectation is
right.
of the completed task, mm-hmm. or we hand it over to them and allow them to do it. Because mm-hmm. that happens a lot, especially with parents. You know, you need to go clean your room. Mm-hmm. Well, so the expectation is to clean your room. Well, is this cleaning the room to your expectation or to the child's expectation?
I think that's a great example. That is really a fabulous example.
Thank you.
Because
I do what I can.
You wonder why I'm with him. no, it's a wonderful example because that's exactly what happens. Parents say, go clean your room. They're thinking, this is what clean looks like.
Right.
Okay. Their concept of clean.
Right.
The child has a different concept of clean your room. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not disobedience. It's not defiance. It's not laziness. It's a different concept. I have one construct. She has another construct.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's a very good example. Right. So again, you have to manage your expectations.
Right.
Don't ask your child to manage them. You know, they're yours.
Your child can't manage your expectations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're not going to meet your expectations. They have their own expectations.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so, that's an excellent example.
So managing your expectations is a very important part mm-hmm. for living positively.
Right.
Now, number five is, again, something we've talked about many times before, but deserves another round, mm-hmm. and that is that happiness.
Yeah.
Comes from challenge.
Right. Right.
When we challenge ourselves and we succeed and we challenge ourselves and we see that we're making progress in a particular mm-hmm. direction,
yeah.
that makes us happy. You know, we intuitively know that. I was talking to a kid the other day and we were talking about exactly that, not in these words, of course, but we were talking about exactly that point that, you know, he's resistant to pushing himself with some of his academics. Mm-hmm. He says, well, why should I work on that? Because, you know, it's just so hard and I just can't do it. And so I use the analogy of a video game. I said, well, when you first start playing a video game, it's really challenging, right? Oh yeah, well, and you like it, right? Oh yeah. And you keep working at it and you get better and then you can eventually complete the game.
Up.
Right. So it makes us feel good. The joy mm-hmm. of video games and of athletics and of, you know, puzzles and of all of these things that we do, academics and to many right. extent to many points is the same thing, that it is really challenging. It's pushing you outside of your comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
but that push outside of your comfort zone leads to such a satisfaction that almost is. You can't replace it. You can't copy that in any other context.
Right. And, you know, so often we hear people say, well, if I could just get the house finished,
mm-hmm.
if I could get everything perfect,
mm-hmm.
if I could get everything just the way I wanted, if I could have the car and the house and the kids and everything would, and then I'd be happy.
Right.
Wrong.
No.
It's yeah. just the opposite. What you should be doing is adding a wing to your house. Do something really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
add a wing to your house.
You know, another... Like a bedroom.
I got you. The West Wing.
Add the West Wing to your house. That'll be the executive suite. But no, you have to do. You have to go beyond
mm-hmm.
what feels comfortable.
Right.
What
right.
you think is this will make me happy? Because I've been in plenty of houses where it looks like Architectural Digest.
Yeah.
Not a thing is out of place. But there aren't happy people in that
yeah.
house.
Okay. I last night I had the opportunity. So this is Friday. So last night was Thursday night. I had the opportunity to coach my little ones
mm-hmm.
team. I'm coaching a team of 5 year olds.
I can't imagine.
Right? All right. So you wonder why I'm tired this morning.
Herding cats.
But these kids are
they
fantastic.
Know to chase the ball.
I love these kids, but I'm pushing them, and you know I've got them doing some things now, and every time. With every one of the kids, when we started, they kept falling over, they kept tripping mm-hmm. over the ball. Last night they started to get it. You would not imagine the joy on their face
that they had right.
when they were able to do it. It's just amazing. It was great to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that's just the example. You keep pushing and you keep encouraging yourself or your mm-hmm. kids or whoever it is that you're working with. You just keep encouraging, because once you break through that ceiling,
mm-hmm.
Again, you're going outside of your comfort zone, but you're expanding your comfort zone.
Right.
And when you successfully do that, man, there is not much that's more rewarding
right.
than pushing yourself to that limit and finding success.
You know, I had friends years ago. She was a designer and he owned his own business. And they bought this big old house up north. And they completely dismantled the whole thing. And I took it all the way down to the mm-hmm. studs and redid the whole thing. And they loved it. They spent years doing it and they loved it. We met them as they were just finishing the project. and it was all perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no joy. The
yeah.
fun was in
building
was in building it.
Yeah.
And you see that over and over and over again, that the people Steve Allen was mm-hmm. a TV person years ago.
Tim Allen?
Steve. Oh. Tim Allen is current. Yeah. Steve Allen was had a variety show and everything in the probably 60s and 70s.
This is the second time this week you've mentioned somebody with a variety show.
Jackie Gleason.
This was
Steve Allen. Steve Allen said one day, very wealthy, very successful. I think his wife's name was Steve Allen and Jane Meadows, something like that. Anyway, they were both actors, and very wealthy, lived in Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. And one time they had to move. They were young and had to move. And he said they were living out of boxes, and they had people come over, and they had to sit in the mat. And he said that was the best time of their lives, mm-hmm. you know, because they were completely disorganized, and they had to borrow yeah. dishes and all that stuff. And he said, we never had more fun in our life than those years of
right.
trying to get settled into this house. Once they got settled, all the fun was over.
Yeah. Right?
And he said, we look fondly at that. Preparing for Christmas mm-hmm. is a lot better than the anticipation
right.
is better than the event.
Yeah.
Okay. Getting ready is what sort of excites you.
Right.
Once it happens,
right.
it's sort of, and so we see this playing out over and over and over again yeah. in different contexts, that you believe, we have this belief that if I could just get everything organized and stay in my little area here, I'll be happy. No.
Yeah.
It's just the opposite. You got to get yeah. out of that happiness zone and challenge yourself and accomplish new things.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And it ties all of these things in, mm-hmm. Whether it's thinking positively, how mm-hmm. you write your story, managing
That's
stress,
right.
managing your expectations, all of those things play into, you know, challenging yourself, pushing yourself. I know that we do it. We meet regularly mm-hmm. and we talk about, all right, so what's next? What are we mm-hmm. going to do? How can we push this a little bit farther and get out there and get to reach more people? Because that is our passion. That's what we love to do. And so we're always, you know, this podcast,
right?
We do everything with this. Well, I do all, we do all this with the podcast.
I won't be here next week.
But. Are you having, never mind. So we do all of it with it, whether it's the recording, the editing, the posting, the writing, we do everything with it because that is our passion. That's what we love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a possibility of handing the one responsibility over to somebody else or something like that. But mm-hmm. when it comes down to it, it's the expectation we have for ourselves. And so it's what we have to take care of.
You know, and ironically, we always, the mantra that we adults have, whether we're parents or teachers, when we talk to children and students, we say the joy is in the accomplishment. It's learning.
Right.
You're going to feel better because you're able to do something you couldn't do yesterday. So you have to push yourself and you have to work hard and you have to try. You have to get away from where you are and move to a new place.
It's the journey.
Adults are built the same way.
Yeah.
You know, we have to do the same thing. The same advice we give children is what we should be following. If you really want to feel good about things, you have to move, you have to stretch, you have to push yourself.
Yeah.
Go someplace where you haven't been before.
Yeah, we met yesterday and talked about, you know, what can we do? What's 2017 mm-hmm. going to be like?
Right.
What are we going to accomplish?
Right.
So there's more things to come. There's
right.
more things from us here at this office and with the podcast and everything. We're going to keep pushing as much
more
as we
books.
Can. And again, trying to use that as a model for you mm-hmm. because you can do the same thing. You know, push yourself. Try things that you've never thought about trying before. And it may not always work, but, you know, trying is so much fun.
Yeah, we talk about a positive attitude coming from doing things. You
mm-hmm.
know, you have to do things. You have to work. Life has to have purpose. Well, unless you're doing something or trying
right.
something, you know, you have to do something to give your life purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard. It's hard to get off the sofa and move from where you are.
Yeah.
We realize that, but you absolutely have to do it. If you need help, give us a call.
Yeah.
Be
yeah.
happy to help you get started or help you maintain it.
Yeah.
We know it's not easy because we go through it. We live it every day.
Right.
So,
yeah. So, all right.
Friday.
We covered all. We had a lot of lists that time. We had three from this thing, two from this thing, and then our five key points. So that today was chock full of points.
We always ask too, please, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
The topic that we covered this week, it really is vitally important to us. This
mm-hmm.
this is not something we're just chit-chatting. These are really important topics, and
right.
We would really like to hear from you guys about this whole issue of positive psychology. How do you stay positive? Whether we're right or whether you think we're right, if you criticize or, you know, mm-hmm. please call and tell us, okay? Yeah. We'd love to talk to you about this. We'd love to hear from you about it.
Right. Yeah, I was going to try to pull it up on my computer here real quick, but it's not working as quickly as I would like for it to. We had a wonderful comment from a listener who wrote to us on our Facebook page, and she shared with us another podcast that was talking about some educational issues that we've talked about before, and so we're going to probably bring that up next week mm-hmm. on
Tuesday.
On Tuesday, but it's great. We love hearing from you. I believe her name was Noreen. I can't pull it up quickly enough, so I apologize. But I believe her name was Noreen, and so we really appreciate that. We read everything that comes in. We try to respond and just love having a dialogue about this stuff because this is what we do. We just love talking about this stuff and interacting with you. So if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a suggestion, anything you have, write to us on Facebook, write to us on Twitter.
Yeah, let us hear.
Write a review on iTunes or whatever the case may be. Just let us know what you think, and we will keep at it and make adjustments as we need.
Yep. You're never going to be an imposition. We'd love to hear from listeners. We love getting the questions that we get. We have some great dialogues, some great ongoing conversations with people who write in. So please, love to hear from you.
Right. So, all right. Well, that is it for today. We will be back on Monday with the morning show, but next Friday for the Mental Breakdown podcast. And so have a terrific weekend. And until then, I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
Have a stupendous weekend.
NCAA college football still is in full swing. So,
college football. Soccer is still in full swing.
I forgot. I always forget, of course. Never mind. Forget about college football.
Florida State plays USF this weekend. So
that's generating some excitement in Tampa. Yeah, everybody's excited. The kids were excited. The young adults were excited. At USF last night, they're all looking forward to the game. We have lots of USF graduates who live in the area. So it'll be an exciting weekend. There's a lot of energy tomorrow in the Tampa Bay area. So look forward to that.
All right, so have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. And forget to be afraid.